and able to control his senses through regulative principles of freedom, can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. Prasade sarva dukkhanam hane asyo pajayate prasanna cetaso yasu buddhi paryavatistate. For one thus satisfied in Krishna consciousness, the threefold mysteries of material existence exist no longer. In such satisfied consciousness, one's intelligence is soon well established. So the first verse, we hear about regulative principles of freedom. So atheists usually point out at religion that this is a point we don't like. Religion imposes restrictions on its practitioners, and the restriction is bad, so therefore religion is bad. We meet this in our daily lives. People who don't understand fully well the meaning of regulative principles of religion. So I thought to speak about this a little bit today. And basically, the materialistic idea of freedom is that I want to be free to do things my own way and not be dependent on anyone else. But the thing we conveniently forget, like in that mentality, is that with enjoying freely, trying to enjoy freely, there are certain associated miseries. And it's you can compare these associated miseries like the Ryanair. Like if you want to go somewhere in Europe, you want to go by plane. So you go on the, let's say, the Ryanair website, and you surf through the different dates available, and you come across an offer. It says, 1 kroner. And then as you click on, then it says, oh, there's the fee, there's a booking fee. Oh, another, there was 100 kroner extra. Okay. So then you click to the next screen. And, oh, there's also the taxes. So it ends up in 500 kroners. So these are the associated miseries we'll find in material enjoyment, any kind of material enjoyment. For example, we may get the impulse that we want, we're a little bored and we want to have some change. So we go out and buy a new car. And then, in order to drive the car, first we have to go through the trouble of getting a driver's license. And then one has to pay for petrol. And not that, insurance. And of course, it may break at any time, then you have to take it to a garage and pay for that. And the government in Denmark, they are very good at extracting taxes from car drivers. So they will also get money from you. And maybe worst of all, if the neighbor, he gets a newer model, then no, how can one tolerate? How can one tolerate? So, and also, sometimes we like to escape our problems by taking shelter of drugs. So then, in taking drugs, we have to worry about addiction. Now, many of drugs, you know, they're highly addictive. So when we have contact with them, we face the risk of addiction. And they're not cheap either. Like we have to spend money to get it, and we have to spend a harder money. Or if you don't, we can't do that, then we have to go through dishonest means to be able to afford the drugs. And when buying, carrying or using the drugs, we have to worry about the police. They can come and put us in jail. And then we can also think of the highest pleasure, like what most people find the most, you can say, satisfying pleasure in this world, sex life. And we might have the idea, okay, I want to enjoy sex freely. And then one has to worry about the first thing that comes, well, you have to find some partner. And if you can't get it, then some, they have to pay hard, you know, they have to go to the professionals. I like to say that. So, if we do find a partner in that sense, then there's no guarantee that he or she may stay, or she may leave the next day. So that's also a constant worry. If you want to enjoy this pleasure of sex, it's not really stable. It's beyond our control, basically. And what to speak, if we do, then there may be such things as pregnancy, child support payments, and of course now it's very much in days there's all this talk about sexually transmitted diseases. So there's always these things in the picture, but we are very good at cheating ourselves in not seeing them. It is like one verse in the Bhagavad Gita. It explains exactly about this, and I will just read it shortly for you. It's in the 18th chapter, and verse 38. Visayendriya samyogad yatad agre mitopamam pariname vishamiva tatsukam rajasam smitam. That happiness which is derived from contact of the senses with the objects, and which appears like nectar at first, but poison at the end, is said to be the nature of passion. So this is exactly to the point what I'm trying to point out here. In the beginning, if you fall in love, if you find some very nice girl or some very nice boy, in the beginning it's like ecstatic. Like this is the most fantastic person in the world, and I'm going to be completely happy just by being together with that person. But then as you get to know the person, as you get to know the odd habits, know the peculiarities, then it's not so exciting anymore. And then in many cases, it ends up, now we have to find something new. So that's exactly the point. It was nectar in the beginning, but it turned out to poison in the end. We want to get rid of the person. Please, you know, don't call me. You know, talk to the hand. So, a nectar in the beginning and poison in the end. So, the conclusion is, like just from our short discourse here, that uncontrolled sense gratification, getting pleasures through the gross senses, there's no peace. There's no peace because there's all these disturbances, all these added taxes, all these fees, which we somehow overlook. And because there's no peace in it, there's no real happiness. So how to get the real? Then we talk a little bit about analyze about the negatives, the problems of materialism. Then what about the positive side? We should also spend some time with that. And we'll take one verse, and I'll skip over to one verse, also in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and it says, one who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? So here we have the point about religion. We are directly being told that in order to be peaceful, we have to somehow or other be spiritually awake. We have to see that Krishna is there behind the picture, and it's actually our relationship with Him. That's in our relationship with Him we find peace. So that means when we think of God, when we are aware of God, then we will not be fooled the false promise of happiness in material gratification. Because there's only these two opposites actually. There's the materialist and there's the spiritualist. And the spiritualist is aware of God, while the materialist is trying to get satisfaction materially and trying somehow to manage around the taxes and the fees of material enjoyment. But since the spiritualist, he is aware of God, and because this Bhagavad Gita is actually God's instructions, this is Krishna's instructions of how you manage yourself in this life so that you avoid the distress. And here, just by remembering his instructions, his good advice, and think about him, then you will not fall a victim for the material gratification. And then you will not get the distress of the material gratification. So this is actually the clue. So now we try to make it a little bit practical, because this is theoretical at the moment. So we should have some practical instructions that we can apply in our lives. Now what can we do in a day-to-day basis in order to get some practical experience of this? And so we'll try to point out something. And what the basis of what I will speak is on the general principles of the Vedas. The Vedas teach us one simple thing, is that we should live simple and think high. So there's one very thing which we might experience right now in our own lives. Let's say, for instance, we want to be comfortable. We want to have a comfortable situation. So we have a very soft bed. And with that soft bed, it usually happens that we are prone to oversleeping. And we feel uninspired to get up in the morning. And then we have the alarm clock. I don't know if you have an alarm clock with called a snooze function. Do you have such an alarm clock? You got one, yeah. So you put on the snooze function because it's so nice. The bed is just so comfortable. And then what happens is that we snooze and just 5 minutes more. And then the next thing you know, 10, 15 minutes, they're gone. Well, they disappeared. And then you look at the watch, and then you have to run out the door to catch the bus to work. So what could be a smarter thing? So now we put in the regulations, see how it works out, how can it work for our benefit. Instead of having the soft bed, which makes it so tempting to be lazy and sleep over. So if you just get a slightly harder bed, what happens from that? That's say you let go of some comfort, let go of some immediate sense gratification. You just take a little bit harder bed. So that bed will keep your body fitter, because it's not very healthy for the body to sleep in a very soft bed. You know, the muscles, they get weak, and it's, you know, it reduces the fitness of the body. And with a little harder bed, you'll get up. You'll get much more easy to get up, and you feel more refreshed from your sleep. So if you take the advantage of that, because it's easier, then you can get up, let's say, 15 to 30 minutes earlier. And in those 15, let's say 15 to 30 minutes, you can chant Krishna's name, like we were just chanting now. We had a nice bhajan by Matis Prabhu. So this we can do on our own. We don't need to only do it in a temple. Like, we can chant Krishna's name by ourselves in the comfort of our own living room. We can chant Krishna's name, and if we do that in the morning, all the negative impressions that might be there in our mind from sleep. When we sleep, we might have bad dreams. You know, we wake up, we feel all strange. But if you just chant Krishna's names, then all that's erased. So this is also regulation. You get up early and you chant Krishna's names. This is regulation. But what the benefit is? The negative effects of the dreams, they go away. And you feel you feel free, and you feel enlightened. The spirit is lifted. And actually, it works like that, at any time we might find that we don't feel all right, like we feel off somehow. So if we just take advantage of Krishna's name in that situation, then we immediately can snap out of our, depressed condition. So this is a regulation. Why should you chant? But if you take the regulation, if you just remember this, when you feel off, when you're not happy, there's something wrong, just chant Hare Krishna, just see the effect. It dispels the negativity. So then we'll try to move on to some other positive aspects of the regulations. And there's, I don't know if you might have noticed this, but there is one gentleman called Rajendra Pakori, and he is the chairman of the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. So he made one statement May this year, and he said that that all people should start to help combat climate change by having one meat-free day per week, and then cut back further. So this is also one regulation, you can say, of religion as we practice it. And that is to be a vegetarian. So, if we try out a vegetarian diet, and if we offer, before we eat our food, if we offer it to Krishna, which is something he says that he wants, like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes one statement, Patram Puspam Palam Toyam, whoever offers me a leaf, a fruit, a flower, or some water in love and devotion, I accept it. So if we offer what we eat before before taking it, if we offer to Krishna, then Krishna will spiritualize, he will energize the food with his own spiritual potency. And that will also lift the spirit, just as chanting the Krishna's name will lift the spirit. So taking food that has been offered to Krishna first will raise your spirits, make you more happy, simply. And for the secondary benefit, we can say that then we can also play a constructive part, because we can see that the world is in big trouble, like climate-wise. So many things are happening. The ice caps, polar ice caps, they are melting. So this this is actually directly linked to, as the scientists put it, this is linked to meat eating, and of course the pollution from cars, factories, and all that. It all adds up. So that we can put be a positive part in that, and also we can put an end if everybody becomes vegetarian. Then the animal cruelty, we see that we've heard about these animal transports. We feel they take the big trucks and they put all the animals in very less space. They put them in these trucks and then drive them so long that they have no water, they have no food for many days. And when they come to the place, they just push them out, so they're hurt in so many ways. So of course, who wants to be a supporter of that? But the thing is, it's very easy to for many to overlook it, because it's very convenient to buy the package in the supermarket. You know, you don't see the things that the animal has gone through. But simply by taking a vegetarian diet, you can stop the misery for the living entities who has feelings, who go through pain just as we go through pain. So that should also inspire us. Why should others suffer while we enjoy? And also, one regulative principle of religion is what's it called? To be monogamous. It is, if we want to get married, if we like the association of the opposite sex, if we want to have a family, then religion says yes. You can get married, but only accept one partner and stay with him or her for the rest of your life. Make a commitment. And that commitment, if we make a commitment to one partner, that will allow us to bring up healthy and morally sound children. When there's not, when we don't stick to this, when we don't follow this principle, then we have, of course, divorces. And nowadays, there's, when you go through a class in a school, there's so many children, if they raise their hand, like they have divorced parents. like it's becoming almost more normal than not to be a child of a divorced family. So that's the sad thing, that with the divorce, the children, they become the losers. So the third regulation, there's four regulations in religion, and the third one is drugs. So that taking drugs, it's first of all, we know it destroys our health. And it also destroys our concept of moral. It becomes very easy to becomes very difficult to keep track of good and wrong when we're under the influence of drugs. We see that most crimes that are being committed, they're under the influence of drugs. They're somehow influenced by drugs when a crime is taking place. So the fourth regulation is gambling. So we have these things to avoid meat eating. To avoid illicit sex, to avoid intoxication, and then to avoid gambling. And that goes without saying, that if we get into the habit of gambling, we're always worried about loss or gain. Will we get the big prize? Or will we lose all our money? And how will we get more money to continue our habit of gambling? So of course we know that gambler, constant anxiety, can't sleep. You know, just imagine all the people who have money on the stock market. That's how it's going now. There's no sleep. Like says Majbu, he's a very careful man, he says, so he only puts in obligations. So that's more sane. So then you can sleep, and then you say to me, do you have nice rest at night? But there are many who don't. who bet on the very, you can say, unstable stock market. So these four things, basically, we save ourselves from a whole lot of distress. And if we add the positive, if we add the Krishna's names into it, if we add the taking Krishna prasadam, spending time with the scriptures, then we have a whole lot better situation than trying to hunt after the material enjoyment. So I'll just read one verse more from Bhagavad Gita, which gives us a hope, like what will happen, or what we'll get, if we just stick to these principles, if we just carry on in this way. Yatad agre vishamiva pariname mitopamam tatsukam satvikam proktam atma buddhi prasadajam. That which in the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So, in the beginning, to follow some regulations, like we've pointed out here, it may seem like poison. Like, just imagine, tomorrow you get a harder bed, you switch out your Wonderland soft, like this. If you switch it out by a little, maybe like this, it may first night, like, oh, poison. But after 1 week, when you get used to it, then you, wow, I'm not tired, I can get a busy. And so now, the 15 minutes chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. So like that, after 1 month, you start looking forward. Like then it becomes like, oh, I can't believe I had that bed for all these years. So now, you know, I'm inspired to get up. Now I'm not just putting the snooze function and now having to run to catch the bus. So like that, the positive change can come in. It just takes that we tolerate the poison, because the mind always says, you know, it's going to be hurt. No, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. But that is said here, just tolerate, Krishna said, just manage, you know, don't worry. Don't think about the problems, they will go over. It's poison in the beginning, but it's nectar in the end. So we want the nectar. We want the nectar for the most time, we want the nectar all the time. So if we take the regulations, we just get a little poison in the beginning, but then we get the nectar. But if we take material enjoyment, we get the nectar here, but then we get the poison. So that we should consider. So I would like to, because now we live in a society where it's, one can say that everything is very much in a disturbed condition. We live in a big city, there are cars, pollution, everybody's running around with a mobile phone, and if you speak too long in a mobile phone, you feel sometimes that your head is just buzzing, you know, you feel all weird. So that's not the television, there are noises, noise pollution. So we live in a quite, you can say, a difficult atmosphere. It's troublesome just for the living being to be in all this distress, all this influence, this, you can say, negative influence. So I'd like to take you back to a situation how it was before. We have Srila Prabhupada here. He's our founder of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And we have, in our society today, we have Indian gurus, you can say, spiritual masters, which grew up in a village in India. And we have some of them, they write about the experience, how it was, what was their life living in that village in India. So I would just like to bring that out, to bring some light on that. And what they would do, in those times, people, they were used to doing things with their hands. Now when they wanted to cook something, they had to go out and get the wood, and they had to get the water. So they had to go to the well and take up the water, put them in pots, put them on their head, and then walk back to the house. So they had to, of course, also they have to wash their clothes by hand and do some work every day in the fields. So by that activity, by that bodily activity, everybody had a healthy body. There was by keeping themselves active. No, the body was fit and strong. And I was explaining one funny thing. It was talking about pollution. And the only real pollution was that when they were going along the road, they were going by horse. So sometimes the horse, it might pass a little air. But that was pollution. But that was it. That was the limit of it. And so they can just imagine that it was all fresh. The air was fresh. It was the water. It was clean. It was clear. In the river, you know, it was clear. You could drink it. You could just go down. You could just take the water in your palms of your hand. You could drink the water. If you do that today, you'll just spit it out and, you know, get me a doctor. Call 911. So this is what we have, where we have ended up. And I was also been explained that in the village there was only one doctor. Only one doctor. He was a simple Ayurvedic doctor. Just gave natural medicines as such. And the funny thing was that hardly anybody came to see the doctor. They were too busy. No, I have to manage. I have to go get the water. I have to go work in the fields. And they were fit and strong. So it was just in the rare cases that they would ever go to him. And if there was a little problem, if there was some problem, then what he would do, he would treat it by the Ayurvedic way and give some medicine. And the thing about Ayurvedic medicine is that it can be digested by the body. It is actually your food. The medicine is your food, and your food is your medicine in the Ayurvedic principles. So what he would do, there's one particular, herb or spice which is important in Ayurveda is ginger. So the doctor will usually give some treatment based on ginger. So in many cases, it's been that they would just they would just take a little honey, they would just take a little ginger and then mix it with honey and take it every day in the morning, and then that will clear up the vast majority of problems. And what they would do in a simple life like that, in the evening time, they would gather together, like we are trying to do here. We're trying to speak about Krishna, we're trying to learn from the scriptures. So that they would do in the evening times. And no TV, no American election campaign, no pornographic movies on Kanal Kuppenhavn, nothing like that. You know, that's what we assemble. Now watch the football. You know, some meaningless, like 22 men running after a ball, and everybody's like, yeah. You know, why? And so that do we do. And so what would they get out of it? The thing about spiritual topics, as we are trying to discuss here, it aliveness us. No, it brings us out. It brings us out of the mundane humdrum. No, of the worries and mundane things that we carry around. So that they would get the benefit like that. And because they would be enlivened, then their dreams would also be good. They would go and have a good night rest because they work hard. Did you ever have that when you did a good experience, when you worked hard someday, when you really used your body? So when you went to sleep, that's probably the best sleep you ever had. So like that. They were working hard, they had something to do with their bodies. And they were having some positive, enlivening talks in the evening. So that's a healthy life, healthy food. No, you can say, pesticides. No artificial, you can say, kunstgödning. I don't know what that's called in English. Artificial manure like that. So many...
Fertilizers,
yes. Fertilizers, thank you. All natural. All just directly from Mother Nature. So like that, their lives, unfortunately we're forgetting this. This lifestyle is being forgotten. And we're getting into computers, we're getting into smaller and smaller apartments. Big, like internet societies. We can't meet together, we have to meet on the internet. We have to sit in front of the screen. We have to have the Facebook profile. We can't just assemble, you know, just person to person. See expressions. It has to be through the keyboard. Has to be through the screen. So like that. Well, those things, there's something that come along the way. As we lost touch with the simple life, with simple life and high thinking, as we lost contact with religion, real religion, and God, these things have just entered. And now we're here in Denmark, in Copenhagen. We're in the middle of all this. So we might not be able to change our situation overnight, but some simple things that we can do, that's our humble request that we should do. Like everybody can become a vegetarian, take advantage of a vegetarian diet and just see how it improves the health. Everybody can be careful just to try to just avoid the temptation of being unfaithful. Like just try to stick it, try to work with your partner. If you found someone, just try to make it work. Why just see all the bad things? Why not try to tolerate some of the negatives and then just work on try to make it work. And gambling, of course, I don't think there's many of you addicted to gambling, but it's, what's in it, you know? What's the game? So we'd like to please keep this in mind, that the simple life is where distress is absent. And if you put the positive things, as we try to focus on, just chant Hare Krishna, chant Krishna's names, take Krishna prasadam, then you see the distress will go away and the happiness will start coming more and more. So, we'll achieve what we're looking for. With this happiness, everybody is thirsting. We're thirsting for, but we're getting cheated. We're getting cheated by the Rayana offers. The Rayana offers our immaterial happiness. So please save yourself. Save yourself from being cheated like that. That's our humble request. So at this we have a very short few minutes left. So I'll thank you very much for your kind attention. And is there any comment or question that you might have, then we can take it. Yes,
I got a comment. He's talking about the Indian villager.
Yes, yes.
I've got a practical example and I'll just tell all of you there. We go every year to India, and my father was building a house in a particular city. Then all the workers, they come from another state of India called Bihar. They were poor. They used to work from morning to evening. My wife and myself went for a walk. And then suddenly we heard some very good music count coming out of a literally a tent, which was a slum basically. And we popped in, and there we found about 15 to 20 people, both men and women. They had worked throughout the day. At 9 o'clock in the evening, they were singing some bhajans. And you could see the glory, their faces were full of enlightenment. They did not know whether they'll have a job next day morning or not, whether the contractor will give them a job. But the way they were together singing, it was out of the world. I mean, we too discussed, we said we have everything materially, but are we so happy as they are now? So you are right, the truth is, materialism does not make you happy. It is more the inner self which makes one very happy.
Yeah, that's, we think that they're miserable and we are happy. We have our couch, we have our TV, and after working the 8 hours, then we can just we can eat the potato chips and then zap through the channels. 99 channels, but there's nothing on. We get a sore thumb. Well, but day under day, like you say, like that. So that's just we're being cheated. Like what we're being offered, that is we're being cheated. Simply. So we should just try, as you must, just try to go a little towards this. As we do in the evening, we have we're trying exactly that same what we're trying to do end our day. Our temple is supposed to be ideal situation. So we try to follow exactly this recipe by having the kirtan in the evening, and then to have some discourse on the scriptures about Krishna in the evening. So everybody can take advantage. It's just to remember, to remind yourself that this is the way to do it. Like, only this way I can save myself from this cheating and get the happiness. So with this we'll end. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.